All right, I'm here today with Jim Shirky. And what branch of the military did you serve in, sir?
I was in the Air Force.
Air Force. What years?
1966 to 1970.
Okay. Did you get drafted or did you pick the Air Force?
Both.
So it was one of those, I got the letter and then you picked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd taken my pre-induction test with the Air Force and was qualified for a particular role. And then I came home from work one day and had a draft notice, so I went to the recruiter and he was able to get me in. So I did 4 years in the Air Force and 2 years in the Army.
So you did 2 years in the Army after the Air Force?
Instead of doing 2 years.
You did four years in the Air Force. That's cool. What did you do while you were in the Air Force?
I was an electrical repairman specialist.
Okay.
I served for 3.5 years in the Strategic Air Command.
Okay.
And so I worked on B-52s, KC-135s.
Wow. Made sure they worked and all the electrical stuff was great.
Loved them. I tell you, that's 52 is an amazing old airplane.
Still
flying.
Why is it so amazing? Just because of how
it's longevity for one thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's still ones that were built in World War II that are still flying.
There are planes, after World War II.
Yeah.
But there were planes that were built in the mid-60s that are still flying.
Wow.
And they anticipate they'll be flying until maybe 2040, 2050.
Wow. But
they are just
almost 100 years.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a return on your investment.
Exactly.
Right? Jeez Louise.
Exactly.
And they're just workhorses, I assume.
Yeah,
because
you
can just do, and it's easy to repair them. Is that kind of the thing, too?
Well, not necessarily easy to repair them, but they were, I certainly enjoyed doing it.
Uh-huh.
It was probably the best job I've ever had.
Really? That's cool to hear. Yeah. Was that something that you just tested? They were like, well, this would work for you and you should give this a shot?
I took the enlistment exam and it said I was qualified to be an electrician, which was a shock to me.
No pun intended.
If I turned on a light switch, I should, and it didn't light up, I should change the bulb.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was kind of, out to lunch. But I enjoyed it. Tech school was about 4 months long,
mm-hmm.
and enjoyed that, and it really really enjoyed my assignment for 3.5 years with SAC.
That's cool.
Tremendous duty.
That's really cool. Where were you stationed at?
My first base of assignment was Clinton Sherman Air Force Base, Oklahoma.
Okay.
About 100 miles west of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
I spent 3 years there with two temporary duty assignments. They sent our whole wing to Okinawa in support of Vietnam, what they called Operation Arclight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took our bombers and tankers over there. We were there for 6 months. That was 6 months in 68 and 6 months in 69. And then when I got back in 1969 in September, they announced the closure of the base that I was on. And
wow.
So I got reassignment. I filled out the they call dream sheet. And I put Missouri because it was a SAC base,
mm-hmm.
Kansas because there was a SAC base, and Arkansas because there was a SAC base. I only had 6 months left to go.
Yeah, and you wanted to stay close.
And then they asked you to put in an overseas assignment. I don't have time for that, so I talked to the guy in personnel, and he said, "Now you got to put something." So I put Germany. And they asked if I would re-enlist for that, and I said yes. And so with all of my requests, they decided me to send me in the middle of winter to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, man. All the Germany, Missouri.
Yeah,
nope,
right,
you're going
right.
to Detroit, bud.
Yeah. This was about 25 miles south of Lake Superior.
Uh-huh.
We had
freezing cold.
We had 3 days in a row that the wind chill index was 75 below zero.
Oh, my God.
And we were still flying airplanes.
And that wind, too, coming off the lake.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, we were 25 miles from the lake, and it was just—it's
brutal,
incredibly cold.
It's brutal. People don't realize what that wind does up there when it's cold. It's so brutal, and it doesn't stop. Eventually the wind will break for a second.
Yeah,
it doesn't break there. It's like someone just turns on a giant fan, and it never
just
cuts.
Keeps going, yeah. But summer was really nice up there both days. So.
I bet. Oh yeah, yeah. You get about a week of it, but it is gorgeous because it's toasty everywhere else.
Yeah,
so.
It was some great. Some great fishing time after fishing season opened. I went on night shift and my night shift boss and I fished almost every day.
Really? Yeah. To catch a lot of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I've fished the border waters up near Canada. And, I mean, you got sick of fish after a while. You just keep, it's just crazy how much you can catch.
I've been to Canada 13 times fishing.
Yeah. You catch everything.
Oh, yeah.
You could literally go up there with a giant bag of rice and survive off of rice and fish have to do anything else.
Yeah.
So what did you do when you got out of the service?
I got out. I went to tech school, used the GI Bill.
Okay. And, continuing the electric stuff?
Got an associate degree in electronics.
Okay.
And then there wasn't anything around here to do, so I worked jobs around here for a while, and then got an opportunity to go to work for a guy that owned a very, very small company. As a matter of fact, he was the only employee that serviced medical equipment.
Okay.
And I worked for him for 7 years, was hired by the hospital and worked for them for 27 years.
As an electrician?
Yeah, started and managed what was called the clinical engineering department for Cox for 27 years.
Oh, wow.
That's... We repaired medical equipment.
Yeah, I actually just delivered food to some of those guys. That one of them that works at the Cox downstairs on the it's now by that kind of where the ER is to the back. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
It's like a little cove in there.
Yep.
I went and delivered them lunch, and sure it was those guys that fixed that service, all the stuff.
Well, neat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I think, I don't know if that was the same place you were, but yeah, it was.
Well, we had three different shop areas down.
Yeah, I could tell that because one of the guys was working on something in one of the other rooms when I got there. So I think that's what it was. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So then, and then that was it. Just kept working, tinkering around. Did you ever do anything like that on your own? Did you get into ham radio stuff or?
No, I really didn't. I thought about getting into ham radio, but it's one of those kind of things, if you get addicted to it, you live the stuff. I've seen some people.
Oh, yeah. Some of those guys are hardcore.
I just didn't have the time for it.
Yeah. It's a really cool hobby. I've been kind of teetering on the edge about getting involved in it, but you're right on the money. You've got to have the time. You know what I mean?
You've got to have the time, and if you're going to really
do it
well, you've got to have the money for it.
Yeah, because it can be very expensive.
It certainly can.
Very expensive. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming to lunch with me today, and more importantly, thank you for your service.
Glad to do it.